President Trump is still contesting the 2020 election results, even as most of the country and the world acknowledge that Joe Biden is the winner. When Trump exits the White House, could he re-enter the world of television that made him so famous? NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us now. And Eric, President Trump, of course, staked a lot of his brand on his TV shows and his appearances. He craves the spotlight, we know. How could he parlay that into a post-presidency job?
Well, I think everyone has the sense that Donald Trump likes being in the spotlight. And so the easiest way for him to keep doing that outside the White House would be for him to take a media job somewhere, become a high-profile commentator, for example, for Fox News, or perhaps align himself with one of the smaller conservative-oriented networks like One America News Network or Newsmax TV. And basically turn it into Trump TV, you know, where they would be more or less devoted to talking about him and sort of keeping him visible, particularly if he's actually going to follow through with these rumors that we're hearing that he plans to run again in 2024.
Interesting that you mentioned he could take a job with Fox News since he's been slamming the network. He did so several times this week, despite having a pretty close relationship with a lot of its stars. There is a report by Axios this week that Trump actually may go head-to-head with Fox. What do you make of this?
Well, it's interesting. Axios said that Trump was thinking about starting his own digital media platform to directly compete with Fox and take them on. And I find that highly unlikely because it would take a lot of work and it would also take a lot of money. What we know about Trump from his past business experience is that he much prefers to let someone else build something and then attach his brand to it and try to take credit for the work that they've done. I think it's far more likely that he's going to align himself with an existing media platform. And, you know, Fox News is going to back up the money truck to try and keep Donald Trump from going somewhere else. Eventually, I think the big paycheck and the idea of working with people like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, who've already, you know, sort of advised him, I got to think that's going to outweigh the daunting prospect of trying to challenge a cable news channel that has dominated conservative media for more than 10 years.
All right. Watch the space, in other words. Eric, I want to bring up another topic in the world of TV. Veterans Day was this Wednesday, and Netflix premiered its new miniseries, The Liberator, Wednesday. It sounds really interesting. It follows a particularly diverse American battalion in World War II. Why don't we listen now to the opening sequence?
On July 10th, 1943, a unit from Oklahoma, composed of Mexican-Americans, Native Americans, and Dust Bowl cowboys, landed in Sicily and began a brutal 500-day trek through Nazi-occupied Europe.
So this is an actual battalion. Do the producers tell their story using historical footage from the war?
Well, actually, what they do is they use this process called rotoscoping, where you film real-life scenes, but then you trace over it and you animate it. But I would find this compelling, even if they hadn't chosen to rotoscope it, because it's the kind of story we haven't heard much about. It's a story about people from different ethnic backgrounds uniting. It's a story of how people of color have risen up to defend this nation, even when this nation wouldn't defend them. There's so many elements to this story that are so interesting and compelling that I would be interested in it, even if it wasn't rotoscoped. But, you know, this production technique makes it look even more visually striking and interesting.
I want to play one more scene now. This is where the battalion's translator is held captive in a basement, and he is explaining the diversity in the regiment to his German captor. First, we hear from the captor.
Things must be getting desperate in America, so long as these types into your army. Red men are Mexicans, inferior races.
We don't see them that way. And they're Americans, like me.
Really? I've been to Oklahoma, Corporal, and the bars have signs out front that say, no Indians allowed, no Mexicans. I've also been to Georgia. They make their Negroes there drink from separate water fountains. Don't tell me they're Americans just like you.
That's a really interesting moment because, again, you know, World War II was a real turning point for people of color in America, not just Mexicans and Native Americans, but black soldiers went overseas, fought very bravely, were treated by their European allies more as equals. And then they came back to an America that wanted them to be oppressed again. And they refused to accept that oppression. And that's when we really began to see the seed sown for what would blossom into the civil rights movement of the 50s and the 60s later. So if you want to sit down with a story that's been undertold about the courage and bravery of American soldiers who fought for America, even when they had every reason to turn their back on the country, this is a great story to check out.
The miniseries is called The Liberator. It debuted on Netflix this week. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.